you here this morning at Faith Baptist Church in Manhattan, Kansas. Just a few days ago, I was with my 99-year-old grandmother, and she said, can you please, this is literally what she said, can you please put me in your trunk and take me with you to Manhattan, Kansas? And I said, well, first of all, Gigi, we call her Gigi. I said, first of all, I wouldn't put you in my trunk. I just want to make sure you know that. But second of all, I would love to. She has fond memories of Manhattan. Her parents were here. She remembers coming to this church. And so it is great to be here in Manhattan, Kansas. Obviously, we are thrilled to be able to see Nathan and Karis and Ethan and Kate. But it's wonderful to be able to be with you all here this morning as well. We were here back in April, and I'll talk a little bit more tonight about what has happened from April until now in our ministry in Hong Kong. And I'll just tell you, it has been a whirlwind since we left here. And we knew that. When we left in April, we knew when we hit the ground back in Hong Kong, it's going to be a lot. We've been in Singapore. We've been in Malaysia. We've had two camps, our churches moved, and we had a trip to Ukraine. So other than that, not much has been going on, all right? But I'll tell you more about that tonight and let you know what the Lord has been doing there. Our church has already had their service there in Hong Kong. They are 13 hours ahead of Central Time. And so last night when I was getting ready for bed, I had the live stream on and was watching a little bit of the service there in Hong Kong. Matter of fact, verse in the bulletin from Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, was the verse in our bulletin today in Hong Kong. You say, how did you guys just happen to do that? Well, we didn't happen to. Nathan was working on his bulletin. I was working on mine. I said, let's put the same verse in there. That'd be great. It's a great, great verse. So their service is already done. I will tell you this. Pastor said that we are continuing to have new visitors almost every week, which is really exciting. One of the things when we made the move from our other location, we knew that we would be in a more highly trafficked area, which was hard to believe. We were in a pretty highly trafficked area already, but even more traffic. It's actually a little more convenient for people as far as public transportation. And so we've been having a lot of visitors, which has been exciting. You can pray for Hong Kong. Some of you maybe have seen on the news, they had a major typhoon last week. But then really on top of that, there's just been continuing rains. And so there's been a lot of flooding in Hong Kong. A lot of people have been displaced. Matter of fact, in the streets right around our church, we had 2 to 3 feet of standing water in the streets. Thankfully, our church is on the 25th floor, so we were okay. But as far as getting places, even some of the public transportation areas, the subways were flooded, things like that. So, but we missed all the excitement, I guess, being here. But we've had our own excitement here. Karis was due like the third week of August, and my daughter Sarah was due the fourth week of August. And so we decided we'll come back, you know, right around when Sarah was due, and maybe it'll be about right, and we'll get to see that. But even if the babies aren't born yet, it's okay. We'll just be here around that time. Well, we left Hong Kong on the morning of August 28th. And our daughter Sarah had her baby the day before we left. And then Nathan and Karis had the baby, like, on the way. Actually, I think I got the text while I was on the plane. They have where you can now get messages. And so so I kept checking. And so we got here, landed. We left on the 28th, landed on the 28th. It's crazy because of the time change, right? And then drove right to Kentucky and spent time with our new granddaughter, Madeline Kirchner, Zach and Sarah Kirchner. He's an assistant pastor at Bluegrass Baptist Church in Georgetown, Kentucky. And then spent some time with them and then drove out here. And so we have two new grandbabies a day apart, which is pretty exciting. And Nathan and Karis's girl was born on my mom's birthday. So my mom, of course, loves that, right? But it's great to be with you all this morning. And tonight I'll share a little bit more about what's going on in Hong Kong, what has been happening. And then we'll also finish up the message, hopefully finish up the message from this morning. How's that? I give myself an out, okay? Acts chapter 2, we're going to look at just a few verses here this morning. Acts chapter 2, let me read these verses and then let's pray together. Verses 41 to 47. 41 to 47, most of you know here that Peter has just finished preaching. And in verse 41, it says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the encouragement we have already had this morning from your word during our Sunday school time, and then some of these rich texts that we have sung that have pointed our thoughts to you, to your word, to the foundation that we have through your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray this morning as we look at who we are as the church, that we will be stirred and reminded to be faithful and to recognize what our responsibility is here as your church, and even specifically here as Faith Baptist Church. May you bless our time this morning. May you be honored in it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of you know that the word gospel means good news, right? And we have for us at the start of our New Testament four books of the Bible that are called the what? The Gospels. And those four books talk about the good news, specifically that the good news is Jesus Christ, that he came into the world to die for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again for the sins of the whole world. At the end of the Gospels, we have Jesus ascending up into heaven and giving a kind of last commandment to his disciples to go into all the world and make disciples. And then as we leave the Gospels, we now come to the book of Acts. And actually, in the book of Acts, in the first part, Luke tells us that in his Gospel, in Luke, he was telling us some of the things that Jesus had done. It was kind of the beginning of what he had done. But now as they come into Acts chapter 1, we see his ascension revisited. We see the Holy Ghost coming upon God's people, the disciples, in chapter 2. And then in chapter 2, they then go and are commissioned to go and spread the gospel and tell people about this Jesus. Specifically, that Jesus had risen again. He wasn't just a man. He wasn't just a good person. He wasn't just one of many wonderful prophets. He was the Messiah, the one that God had sent, and they were commissioned to go. And as they went, as people were saved, as we just read about in Acts chapter 2, we see something happening in the book of Acts. It's the establishment of the church. A lot of this is because I've been studying the book of Acts quite a bit recently, but the book of Acts has become one of my favorite books in the Bible, because of its importance as a transition from Jesus being here in person to no longer here, which is where we are, right? I mean, if you've seen Jesus in person, come talk to me afterward, okay? We might need to have a little medicine for you. But we have it. Jesus is in heaven. And so we are just like the New Testament church, where they had heard about Jesus. They had heard about what he had done, and now the disciples were to go tell and say, "Here is who he is. We have seen him. We're eyewitnesses. This same Jesus that you have crucified is Lord. He is the Christ." And we have the beginning of the church. Our New Testament is really a full picture of the church that we are called to be. In the book of Acts, we see the leadership of the church established. We see the day the church is supposed to meet established. We see ordinances of the church dealt with and talked about. We see many things that were initiated here in the book of Acts about the church that are then reemphasized all through the general and pastoral epistles in the rest of our New Testament. You know this. Most of the rest of the books in the New Testament were written to actual what? Churches. And so this instruction that we have in the book of Acts is so important as a beginning for us to understand why are we here? Why Faith Baptist Church? What is the point of it? It wasn't some guy's idea that thought, hey, listen, let's make everybody come together every week and give their money and this will be kind of a nice little scam. And now, that's happened, okay? People have taken that and done that. There's scams all over the world, all right, in the name of religion. But the church as we know it and that hopefully as we seek to fulfill it was established and we were given instructions for how this was supposed to take place. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul tells Timothy, it is the church that is the pillar and foundation of truth. So this is pretty important. What we're doing here is important. We learn in the book of Acts that the church is not a building. The church is actually a gathering of a group of people. We have the universal church, which is everybody in the world that names the name of Jesus Christ. Our church in Hong Kong, your church here in Manhattan, Kansas, my son-in-law where he is in Georgetown, Kentucky. We can go to churches all over the world. We are a part, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, as the universal church. But we also see local churches, local gatherings established in the book of Acts. These were people that were saved and added to the church. And God is using His church to grow His people and to spread the gospel. What I want us to do this morning and this evening, Nathan, I'm looking for that clicker. Oh, it's down here. He wanted to make me move. I want us to look at lessons in community, which we'll see is the idea of this, from the book of Acts. Lessons in community. And we're going to kind of do an overview of the church in the book of Acts. You're saying only two messages. I know, that's why we got to go fast, right? And mainly we're going to spend our time here in Acts chapter 2, because Acts 2, 41 to 47, early on in the book of Acts, gives us a really, really clear picture of the church. But we'll kind of highlight some other places throughout the book of Acts, okay? First of all, I want you to see, I see it back there? I guess not. I'll just see it here. Okay, we're going to talk about lessons of community. First of all, I want you to see it is a community of believers. The church is a community or a fellowship of believers. In chapter 2, verse 41, we're told they that received His word, okay, then they were baptized and added to the church. Verse 44, all that believed were together. Verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. In chapter 4, verse 32, if you want to mark this verse down, the number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. So we see this emphasis here, right at the start of the church. The church is made up of believers. Believers in what? Believers in the gospel. This is what Peter was preaching all through Acts chapter 2, which, by the way, as a side note, isn't it exciting that the same Peter who had denied Christ publicly three times, he wept bitterly when he was confronted with it, he was still used of God. That gives encouragement to every single one of us, right? That God can still use us even when we fail. Come back to Him, broken, contrite heart, confess your sin, and God can still use us no matter what has gone on in the past. And Peter preaches the gospel, and people believe in Jesus Christ for their salvation. The church is made up of believers. But second of all, I want us to see that the church is made up of persecuted believers. The early church's establishment, it was a community of persecuted believers. You see this very clearly in the book of Acts. But you also see it in almost every single epistle, letter to the church. Paul is giving encouragement to the people to stay and stand in Christ because they are facing persecution. Turn your Bible quickly to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. We're not going to spend a long time here, but I just want you to see, and at least in my Bible, I even have a little heading here in Acts chapter 8 where it says persecution of the church. And here we have Stephen, who is killed for his faith in Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, Saul, before he's Paul, is there standing watch over this. And this persecution happens, and it says that after this, there arose a great persecution in the church. Chapter 8, verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. They were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Persecution was a part of the early church. I mentioned that my son and I, just a couple of weeks ago, seems like a long time ago, but just a couple of weeks ago, we were in Ukraine. And they're facing not necessarily a religious persecution, but they are going through a difficult time. We heard the air raid sirens when we were there. When we got to our kind of an Airbnb set up that we were staying at, the lady who was showing us around, she said, now, you all are staying on the second floor, but you probably want to come down to the first floor if you hear an air raid siren because the missiles won't do as much damage to the first floor. And we're like wide-eyed. We're like, okay, yes. You know, I called my wife. I said, I think we're going to be okay. We're only there for a few days. This is what they are living with day after day after day. And I shared with them, you know, God can use difficult times in the church to grow the church, to see the church flourish. And that's actually what's happening in many of the churches in Ukraine. In the church that we were at, we pulled into the church at, I think Sunday school started at 10. We pulled in at 9:15 and there was a line already outside of the church for people waiting to get in. And I asked the pastor, I said, why are all these people here? He said, well, they want to make sure they get a seat. And the church was packed. I don't know how many people, 300, 400, something like that. It was full. And that's going on. And in the early church, God used persecution, we've seen this throughout church history, to spread the gospel and grow the church. So don't be surprised, brother and sister in Christ, when you as an individual or when the church in general faces persecution. You know, more and more, even in this country, in the United States, what the church stands for is hateful, people say. It's not hateful, but people will say it is. And some of the most marginalized and persecuted people, even in the U.S., are Christians who believe what the Bible says. Because what the Bible teaches is not popular. In Hong Kong, same type of thing. It's potential for persecution. And no matter where we are, we shouldn't let it shock us when we deal with hardship. God uses these difficulties to grow us individually, but also then to grow and mature us as a church. So they were a community of believers. They were a community of persecuted believers. But number three, I want you to see the early church was a community of devoted believers. Go back to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. They were a community of devoted believers. And we see this especially in Acts 2 verse 42, where the Bible says, and they, here's the key two words, continued steadfastly. They continued steadfastly. This is just one Greek word that has the idea of they gave their strength to something. They attached themselves firmly to something. They were faithful in something, and they were holding fast to something. They continued steadfastly. And I've just used this term, devoted, to describe what is being said about these believers here. They were, you could say, committed believers. They were devoted believers. They continued in something fervently. What was it that they continued and were devoted in? Well, it says here, first of all, they were devoted to, or they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We could say teaching. They continued, they were devoted to the teaching of God's word. They were hearing what the apostles were saying. They were being sent out by, these apostles were sent out by Jesus Christ. They were committed to listening and learning from the teaching of God's word. We see this as a theme all throughout the book of Acts. Matter of fact, turn to Acts chapter 20. Turn to Acts chapter 20. If you want to hold your finger or your ribbon here in Acts 2, we'll be back there. Acts chapter 20, we saw Saul in Acts 8 persecuting the church. Okay, we're skipping over where Saul gets converted on his way to Damascus. And now here in Acts 20, after much ministry, Paul is now leaving and he calls the elders of the church together in Ephesus. So I'm giving you a little, again, we're jumping into this. Acts 20, verse 17, it says, "And from Miletus, he, Paul, sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." He gathered the leaders of the church together. "And when they were come to meet him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons." So he says, okay, from day one until now, this whole time, I've been consistent in this. What has he been consistent in? "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews." He said, "I've served you humbly. I've faced persecution." And in verse 20, "how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul says, hey, listen, here's the way I have been. From the first time I started ministering to you all the way until now as I'm leaving you, I have been a servant to you, I have faced persecution, and I have taught you. If it was profitable, I spoke it. I did this privately, I did it publicly, I taught you about Jesus Christ. And I was not afraid to teach you. Look at verse 27. Verse 27, he says, "I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." If the Bible says it, I'm going to preach it. You know, I know my son well enough, and I know Pastor Byford well enough, that you need to be thankful that you have a pastor that is not going to skip over passages of Scripture if they might not be popular. They're going to teach it. They're going to teach it graciously and patiently, but they are going to teach it. And you know, as a church, as a body of believers, we ought to be devoted to the teaching of God's Word. This is why we're here, brothers and sisters. This is why we come, to hear the teaching of the Word of God. And so we need to do everything we can to make the most of these opportunities when the Word of God is taught. They were committed to it. Let me give you a few other verses that you can write down and maybe look at later. Paul, as he's talking to Timothy, 1 Timothy 4, 13 to 16, he says, "Until I come, give yourself to the public reading of Scripture and to exhortation and teaching." 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says, "Listen, you've heard from me, now you give it to others who will be able to teach others also." 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Word of God is profitable. The first thing is doctrine for teaching. Let me ask you a question this morning. As Faith Baptist Church in Manhattan, Kansas, is this a group of people that is committed and devoted to the teaching of God's Word? We often like to think in one group, okay? But the group is made up of individuals, right? So you individually, when you come on Sunday, do you think, you know what? I am excited to hear the teaching of God's Word. Or do you think, boy, I wonder how long this is going to be. Sure hope it's not very long today because I got stuff to do. You know, I got to check off the box that I went to church. You know, I got to make sure and make my family happy or make sure that I do a good thing for God this week. Or do I come and say, you know what? I need the teaching of God's Word. I need it to change me and grow me. I am committed to the teaching of God's Word. They were committed to hearing the Word of God taught. It's one of the main reasons we gather. It's why I would encourage you any opportunity you have to hear the teaching of God's Word here at this church. Come. When the doors are open, Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night, special services, be here. Not because, oh yeah, pastor's going to get on to me if I'm not there. That's not why we come. We come because we need the teaching of God's Word to grow us and strengthen us. And the example of the early church is that they continued steadfastly. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were committed to the teaching of God's Word. But then next of all, they were also devoted, not just to the teaching of God's Word. Look what it says back to Acts 2, verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Fellowship. We just had Sunday school, I think, in what you call the fellowship hall. Is that right? Is that what you call it? Okay. So you're like, oh, we've got a fellowship hall. We're good on that one. Well, no, no. What is this? What are we talking about when we're talking about fellowship? This is the idea in the New Testament of one another. You see a lot of these things. Love one another. Bear one another's burdens. Pray for one another. This is the community that we have as a body of believers. This is the word we see all throughout the New Testament, koinonia, that talks about us being a group and having all things in common. Listen to Paul writing in Philippians chapter 1. He says, I thank my God in all remembrance of you, praying for you. He talks about this because of your fellowship in the gospel. It's the idea of partnering together in the gospel. In 1 John chapter 1, we talk about this fellowship that we have because we have the Father and we know Jesus Christ. Actually, the very word, most of you know this, the very word church has the idea of a gathering together, an assembly of people. We are a community of believers. They prayed together and they had much fellowship one with another. What were they doing in this gathering? Well, I've already mentioned a couple of these. They were devoted to fellowship, which meant they gathered together. They came and gathered together. Most of you know this verse, but maybe you should turn there. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. I actually saw verse 24, I think, on the bulletin board out in the lobby. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider one another. There's that idea of one another. Consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. So as the community of Faith Baptist Church, as fellow believers, we should be trying to encourage each other to love God and others more and to stir each other up to serve God more. And then he says, tells us in verse 25, well, how are you going to do that? Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And then he adds this, as the manner of some is, he says there's some people that are forsaking the assembling, they shouldn't be. And then he adds this, but exhorting or encouraging one another even more as ye see the day. What day? The day of Christ's return. As it seems like we're getting closer to Christ's return, you ought to be gathering together even more. You know what I found that is happening in churches all across the United States and all around the world? We've started having less services, fewer services. We gather less. And the writer of Hebrews, whoever that might be, says, no, no, no. As things start getting worse, you ought to do it more. You ought to gather together more. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. They fellowshiped by gathering together. But there's another aspect of their fellowship. They prayed together. Acts chapter 2. We see they came together in fellowship and breaking of bread. We'll talk about that in a moment. And in prayers. They came and prayed together. So you know what? When you gather together as a church and pray together, you are doing something that the very earliest church did and was commanded to do. It's not just Pastor Byford and Pastor Nathan going, what are we going to do? Oh, let's pray. That's a spiritual thing. No, they're doing what has been commanded. Not only did they pray together, they praised God together. Chapter 2, verse 47, praising God. They came together and praised the Lord together. When Paul and Barnabas in chapter 14 had gathered, they arrived and gathered the church together, Paul and Barnabas declared all God had done for them. And the church praised God together for what they had done. In chapter 15, verse 4, Paul and Barnabas again, they declare all God had done for them. And the church praises God. One of the reasons we come is to praise God together. We've already done that this morning. It's not an extra part. It's not like a bonus, you know, like, okay, we got to get through that so we can actually get to the preaching. No, it's a part of why we're here, is to praise God together. I can't get too fired up about this because when I was in Ukraine, the entire week of lessons that I taught was on worship and music. Okay, so I won't teach you that whole lesson right now. But it's a part of what God has called us to do as the church. But not only did they praise together, they also served together. They served together. Notice verses 44 to 46. They that believed were together, had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. They continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. And they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. This is not a version of Christian communism, okay? It's not what this is. But it was the church early on saying, hey, listen, if we're a body of a Christian community, if we are all brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to take care of one another. We need to make sure that there's nobody who has a need. We need to serve one another. And that is exactly what the church is supposed to do. As we seek to have fellowship together, to be one anothering each other, we find out, hey, who has a need? How can we serve the church? And you know, unfortunately what has happened is the church in a lot of ways has been very good about trying to reach out to those that are not a part of the church. And that's an element of it. But the focus that we see early on is the church was bringing all things to say, hey, who in the church has a need? Let's take care of this body. Let's take care of the people here in this church. This is just personal, okay? It's just personal. This is why when I do my giving, I do most, probably 99% of my giving through the church to take care of the needs there. Because I don't always know how somebody else is going to use my money. Okay, you could name whatever charity it is. Maybe you are able to do a lot of good research. That's great. Nothing wrong with that. But most of your giving ought to be through the church, so the church then can take care of the needs of the body of Christ. And that's what the early church did as their example. They served together, and in that we see they were giving together. It's a part of what the original church was doing. This is kind of the same idea, but they cared together. They cared for one another. They were making sure that everybody had their needs met. Can I just encourage you as a church, don't let Sunday be the only time you have contact with your church family. We have more ways than ever to stay in touch, right? Just a simple text can mean the world to somebody at your church. Hey, you know, we gathered together and we prayed about this, and I just want to check up with you. How's that going? I mean, that can, and you know, you never know the timing of that just little text, how much that can mean to somebody in the church. Stay connected throughout the week. I know we have jobs that pull us away. We have other things going on. We have our own family. But stay connected to the body of Christ by caring for one another. And then I'll just mention this. I think this is great. If it'll go there. They ate together. Amen? People always joke about every time Baptist church has a gathering, they got to eat together. Well, it's actually fairly biblical. They were doing this in the early church. You say, well, Matt, the breaking of bread, isn't that the Lord's Supper? Yes, that is. But they were also eating their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Some of this eating together was done, I think, as the church would gather. But some of it says they were doing this from house to house. And yes, there were house churches. But I also think there's an element of this that talks about this idea of hospitality. Of getting together with other brothers and sisters in Christ, having a meal together, and enjoying fellowship one with another. We have found in Hong Kong, it is not normal to invite somebody over to your home and have a meal. Most people go out for a meal because their homes are so small, right? We have a little over 800 square feet. We pay almost $3,000 a month for that space. And we are not even in the city center. We're about 45 minutes from the city center. And so people think, oh, our house is too small. But we just tried to, a little bit, we need to do it more, all right? A little bit, we had people over to our house, and it's not her fault. So if you're thinking, oh, it's my fault, all right? But it's a great way to get to know people, to get to find out about people, to eat and fellowship together. So this church, they were devoted to teaching. They were devoted to fellowshipping together. And it's interesting, we see here also, right here in these first few verses, we have the two ordinances that are talked about, right? We see baptism and the Lord's Supper, this breaking of bread. So much already here in this early church, and I don't know about you, but it gives me great confidence. And it's actually kind of exciting to go, you know what? What we are doing in our church was established a long time ago, and we're just trying to be consistent and faithful to what the early church was doing. It's right here in the Bible. These are not extra things that people just traditionally drummed up. Well, it's what we ought to do. No, these are things, the teaching of God's Word, the fellowshipping together, the ordinances, the caring one for another, the giving to the church, the praising God together, praying together, hearing the Word of God. These are all things that were right there at the very beginning of the church. Now we just need God's help to continue in these things steadfastly, devoting ourselves to them. You know, I've already said this once, but let me say it again. The church is made up of individuals, right? And the way the church is strong, the way the church grows, the way the church is devoted is that we as individuals are devoted to these things. Can I just ask you, first of all, are you a believer here this morning? The church is made up of a community of believers. Do you individually know Jesus Christ as your Savior? You have that confidence. If you don't, I'm glad you're here today. Because you have an opportunity again to be confronted with this kindly. To say, you know what, you need to know Jesus Christ. Every Sunday at our church in Hong Kong, we have people there that don't know Jesus Christ. Some of them have been attending for quite a while. We keep encouraging them, come to Christ. And I just encourage you this morning, I don't know many of you. I'm just a visiting speaker. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to be a believer in Him. Trust in Him for your salvation. And then, as individuals, how committed are you to the teaching of God's Word? What is your approach to the teaching and preaching here? As little as I can, I'll come and do my little bit, or you know what, I need to get as much as I can. How is your attitude when you come to hear the Word of God? Man, I know we're tired, right? It's hard sometimes. But as you get here to say, you know what, Lord, help me to have the right attitude and be hungry and devoted for the teaching of the Word of God. And then as we fellowship together, to be committed to these things, that we're gathering together, we're praying together, we're praising God together, we're serving one another, we're caring for one another. You know, when somebody walks into Faith Baptist Church, it ought to just be like obvious, wow, this church, they love one another. I just can't believe how kind everybody is. I can't believe how caring and open everybody is. And I just felt welcomed, and it was a warm church. That's how it ought to be. Not because, well, that's how we get more people. No, it's because that's what the church ought to be, that we are caring and serving for one another. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us as a church, right, for our church in Hong Kong, Island Baptist Church, as a leader of that church, but for you here at Faith Baptist Church, this would be who we are as individuals, as a part of this church. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you came to this earth, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to die for us, to not stay in the grave, but to rise again. And then, Lord, thank you for the apostles that went and declared your word and to the Jews and to the Gentiles alike, so that we that are here this morning could actually know the truth of the gospel. I pray that you would help this church. I pray for Pastor Byford, for Pastor Nathan as they lead it, for the deacons of this church, for the members of this church, Lord, that they would be faithful. This church would be a bright light for you here in Manhattan. So many opportunities here. And then, Lord, for each one that is here today, that they would be who they should be as a part of this church, a believer, devoted to the teaching of your word, and devoted to fellowship. Lord, may we fulfill what you have called us to be as members of this church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
A good reminder, good challenge for all of us. And let's go ahead and we'll take a little bit of time to think about some of those questions that we just heard. Obviously, as a church, I hope as a whole we have this spirit of being devoted to God's word, of being devoted to the fellowship, the praise of God. But consider individually, are you devoted to the word? Maybe there's someone here that isn't saved. Let's take a little bit of time. Let's keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And just ask yourself, are those things true of me? What marked the early church, those early believers? Is that true of me? Let's stand while we just pray in case anyone wants to come to the front. Or if you know you're not saved, really want to challenge you, talk to somebody before you leave. You won't be a part of a community of believers unless you are saved. So if you have any questions, any doubts about that, you can even come forward while the piano plays. But however you need to deal with the Lord, let's talk to Him at this time as the piano plays for us. Lord, we thank you for your word, and Lord, we trust that for each one of us, you have encouraged us and maybe even put your finger on some places in our lives where we do need to change. Lord, may we not just be hearers, but may we be doers. And Lord, may we correct our thinking on a matter or our actions. And Lord, thank you so much for this church. May this be a church where we are a biblical church, where we are focused on the things that you tell us that we need to be focused on. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may go ahead and be seated. Before we're dismissed, let's take our hymnals and turn to hymn number 374. 374. Just a reminder for all of us that This should be based on a vision for God, a vision that's on God's word. But be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art thou my best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. And just that idea, Lord, may everything I do be based on a vision for you. There's so many things that are capturing our vision, so many things that vie for our attention. But to really say, Lord, I'm going to be devoted to your church because you are my focus. We'll sing the first verse and then we'll sing the third verse as the last. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed after we sing, Be Thou My Vision. Thank you all for being here. Choir practice at 5 o'clock for those of you that are in the choir, and we'll keep working on what we have there. Let's pray, and then we will be dismissed. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would take your word. Lord, I pray that we would even use this day to meditate upon the things that we've heard from your word. And may we apply it individually to our lives so that, Lord, corporately as a church, we can seek to glorify you in the way that we live. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are dismissed. Thank you.